Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of City Watch's American Citizens Podcast. As I'm sure you've noticed by the tone of my voice, I'm not gray, which can only mean one thing. I am in charge. With that said, though, Gray is with me. Hello, Gray.
Watch yourself.
Yeah, that's true. This is Gray's baby. And I'm pleased to announce our senior legal correspondent, Mr. Ian O'Neill, joining us for the first time, for the second time. Ian, how you doing, man? Great to have you back again on a podcast you've never been on before, but have been on before.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it. And I'm assuming this will actually get recorded.
The beautiful part about this is that you have Gray working on it too, so double your trouble, double your fun. There are multiple people ensuring that this podcast sees the light of day. But with that, we are on a truncated timetable, and really, there's only so much that you can talk about in a game like this, so we're going to go ahead and jump right into it. As everybody by now has probably figured out, we did our analysis of the Swansea game. We recapped that earlier today with Mr. Joe Bailey, and today we're going to be previewing the Champions League game against Celtic. Now, today starts out with a bit of crap news. Senior De Bruyne will be out for a month with yet another stupid injury and garbage time of a game that was already wrapped up. Oh my God! All right, so first, Gray, Ian, we'll start with you, Gray, then kick it over to Ian. Actually, screw you, Gray. You told me to watch myself.
Ian, I did.
We're starting with you. I want to know, what were your thoughts upon hearing the De Bruyne news, and do you feel as deflated or, I don't know, hopeless as last year when they announced he was going to be gone for a significant length of time?
Yeah, I'm pretty deflated. I don't know, maybe you'll disagree, but I thought that he was definitely the best player so far this season. I'm always happy to see him on the pitch. And like you said, it seemed like this was a completely unnecessary injury to have. But we're going to be okay. You know, there are replacements that we have. So it's too bad. And I just hope that we don't something drastic doesn't happen in terms of the great form we've been in, you know, because I think he's been the one that's been driving that a lot. But we'll see what happens. I'm still optimistic.
I share that optimism. I mean, roughly, as I said on the other, I think they're better equipped to handle something like this, not necessarily for a long period of time, but I think they can cope for a month. And obviously, there's some big games in there that he's going to miss that we would obviously rather he not miss. But I think City are a little deeper, and I think that they are less reliant on than they were last year on sort of moments of magic from their best players. There's a system in place that will, you know, allow someone to step in if they need to and fill a role and not miss too much of a beat. They'll miss him, but I don't think we're facing a situation like last year where the team's form is going to nosedive just because he's not there.
Well, I want to get into that real quickly because I'll split this into two parts. And Ian, I'll ask you the second part. So, Gray, the first part's for you is how do you assess Celtic? And then when he's done, Ian, you can just go ahead and chime in with how does he assess Celtic or how do you assess Celtic with De Bruyne not on City's side to take care of things?
My assessment of Celtic, and I haven't really seen much of them. Obviously, we know Patrick Roberts is on loan there and the likes, and their manager is Brendan Rodgers, who has Premier League experience, almost won a Premier League title. The Scottish League is not good, if we can be blunt about that. There's a reason that these teams don't really – Celtic don't even make it to the Champions League on a yearly basis, despite the fact that they win the league on a yearly basis. It's been several years. So I've always been kind of fascinated by the question of where the SPL lies if you compared it to the English league system. Like, is it the Championship? Is it – what is it? I don't know the answer to that, but – when I look at Celtic, I don't see anything that should really trouble City that much. What I will say is that Celtic Park is a very difficult place to play, and they have beaten Barca there. They've played really well there at times, even in Europe. So it's not a game that I would take for granted, because Celtic Park is one of the tougher venues that you can go to. But at the same time, on paper, you don't really see anything that will straight up really trouble City, I don't think, anyway.
Should Patrick Roberts play, and injuries more so than any – City have already said he's good to go. But if he should play, and if he's healthy enough to give it a go, what would you like to see out of him?
This is probably going to be as good opposition as he's going to have ever seen. So you're asking a lot of him, but I think really you just sort of want to see where he's at, how he measures up, because while this isn't necessarily the caliber of team he's going to be facing on a regular basis, you are putting him in the Premier League where there are other top teams like a City. Obviously, we couldn't really glean much from the Barca game. They were just completely outclassed. But here they're at home. You expect them to have their fans behind them and put up a fight. So I would be interested to see how Roberts is spurred on there, especially against a team that owns him. He would be aware of the players. What I want to see from him, I couldn't tell you explicitly. I'm hesitant to say I'd like to see a good display from him, given that we're playing them and trying to win. But at the same time, I'd like to see the flashes, and I would like to see him at least not look like he doesn't belong on the same pitch as a Manchester City.
That's certainly fair, Gray. Ian, I want to ask your opinion, firstly, going back to the De Bruyne question. How do you assess Celtic without De Bruyne? Is this a team you think that can take it to Manchester City? How much do City need to worry about not having a guy that's been really the best player in England for this year?
Well, I don't think they really have to worry about it much at all. Let's be quite clear. You know, this Celtic team is not a good team. I don't think that they'd have a tough time not being relegated from the Premier League if they were, somehow magically placed in that league. There's no way that the loss of Kevin is going to make this a more difficult endeavor to go to Celtic Park and get 3 points. So if somehow City do not get all 3 points, there's going to have to be some sort of team-wide meltdown. It's not going to just be the lack of one player, And I don't see any other result other than getting all 3 points based on the way City have been playing, and I don't see how missing just one very, very important player really changes the analysis in terms of the outcome of the match.
Can I ask, what store did you stop at to get these brass balls of yours to say that the loss of De Bruyne isn't going to mean anything? I need to have your confidence. So if you could please point me in the direction of the store that sells steel nuts, I would be most appreciative.
You're kind of born with those. I don't think you can buy them. I'm saying that this in terms of the match coming up against Celtic. You know, when they're, you know, when City have to play Barca, then that's when losing De Bruyne is a big deal. I don't want to give the impression that anyone should think, this is my opinion, that the ability for City to get all 3 points against Celtic has anything to do with De Bruyne not being there or being there. It's just the gap is too wide between the two clubs for that one difference to make any to change anything in terms of the outcome of the match. I mean, are you saying that you think that City could drop points against Celtic because of the loss of De Bruyne?
I don't know if I'm saying that they would drop points, but Graves already noted that Celtic Park is an extremely tough place to play. And if you have a day like, let's even say Saturday, where for the better part of 90 minutes, City's offense looked more impotent than Mr. Burns after being run over by, an earth mover. It did not look fluid. It didn't look like it was working for City. And then, lo and behold, they make a change that involves the very player we're talking about, and the can opener sort of does its job. So I think that there is a possibility that where I'm not at all convinced that some of the players who will end up playing tomorrow for Celtic are, the idea is that at least one or two of these guys are Premier League quality. But I'm not at all convinced that they're all world beaters. I think it's, and maybe Gray would be the person to probably take this one away and put a bow on it. I just think it would be rapidly foolish for a brand new manager missing one of his key players, to underwrite, City's chances or overestimate City's chances of successfully moving on.
Well, I don't think anyone's going to take it for granted, especially Pep. God knows that he's going to treat every opponent like they're Barcelona. All I would say is that for this particular game, I do share the confidence. I'm not going to take it for granted because that would be stupid, frankly. But at the same time, all we can do, we can't predict how the team is going to react to a hostile environment or what have you. They played at Old Trafford. They took the crowd out of the game pretty quickly, but they did play at Old Trafford. I would say roughly that I think you can come up, and we should bear in mind something that I would note is that Nolito won't be banned for this one. He'll be available, and I expect he'll start. So that's one thing that I would note. And then you can just sort of slip Gundogan in there. You definitely lose something given the form that De Bruyne has been in. But I think given those players, you can come up with an 11 that is plenty good enough to get the job done at Celtic Park. Now, I know they'll miss Kevin De Bruyne, but I think there's enough quality in that team. And I think that they are tactically aware enough. And again, with Nolito in there too, I think they'll have enough about them and they'll have their wits about them that they'll be able to deal with whatever threat Celtic pose.
Yeah, I think they'll definitely be able to take on and handle Celtic. I am just saying that in the Champions League, weird things happen. If you look at Sevilla last year, all Juventus had to do was go and beat Sevilla, and all of a sudden, they win, they take the group. It's done. It's over with. Yeah. And it doesn't happen.
I mean,
all Bayern had to do was win. They win the group. And had Manuel Pellegrini had his head not up his ass, City could have won the group. But he literally did not know. And has
The last thing, the only thing I'll say is that the concern that, like, they won't be prepared for this, they won't know what they're walking into, that is the last thing I'm worried about with the Guardiola team. That is the last thing I'm worried about.
There's no concern on my part about whether or not they'll be prepared. The concern on my part is whether or not Brendan Rodgers will have assembled a game plan that is tactically aware of itself enough that it can cope with the pressures of a Guardiola system, especially if you're at home and getting a little bit of crowd noise here and there. You know, whatever it is, however drowned out it may be, whatever the case, you're going to have some of that noise. It's going to be quite loud. I'm sure that, you know, City fans will travel, I think. I have no idea. But I just think that there is a possibility in these games for a lesser team to come out with a bigger result simply because I don't know, man, because crazy stuff happens in the Champions League. Always has, always will.
Can I jump in for a second?
Yeah.
We spoke off air about how futile it is to predict what the starting 11 will be for City. But what I did want to mention here is we know that De Bruyne is not going to play tomorrow. Would you be okay with the same starting 11 against Swansea, with Nolito replacing De Bruyne on the left wing?
For me, I would like to see Nolito, Sterling. I think I'd like to see two pivots with Gundogan. And maybe you drop Fernandinho. I don't know. I don't think that having Sané out there, like, Sané shouldn't start. Sané should come off the bench in this game. Can I at least put that out there? And we'll start there.
No, I agree with you there. I mean, I'd be okay if he stayed on the bench.
Great, but how do you, I mean,
I can name the exact lineup I'd like to see.
Yeah, let's see what you would prefer to see and why.
I'll get into the why, but my back four would.
Right, you'll get into the why.
That's right. Stones and Otamendi are your center backs. Kolarov at left back. I'll keep Sanya at right back. My midfield three is Silva, Gundogan, and Fernandinho, and my front three is Nolito, Aguero, and Sterling. It makes the most sense to me. I think that's the best 11 they have available to them.
Yeah, okay. And that's what the game against Swansea was, with Nolito replacing De Bruyne. And I think you're right, Gray. That is the best 11 available.
I'm not sure how we decide on a best 11 until we figure out what Gundogan's role is going to be. Because thus far, Gundogan has played spotty in terms of, like, an identified true position, but the actual on-the-field contributions have been spectacular. Makes sense?
I agree. What did you think about his performance against Swansea on the weekend?
I mean, I kind of felt like he was responsible for giving a lot of balls away.
Great. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't his best game, but you know, I understand the point. I think Gundogan can do both, but I think he can also do the double pivot with Fernandinho. So I think that gives you enough in midfield to get the job done. Personally, it frees up Silva to play the De Bruyne role basically, and then you have, you know, Nolito's tactical awareness, getting in the right positions, what have you. Sterling's in fine form, Aguero's in fantastic form. Frankly, I think that I think it's down to the players to just sort of do better with the ball retention. And I think that's something that would be true whether De Bruyne is playing or not. So I think that's your key. And I think that that's the best lineup you can put together.
Why were City having so many problems retaining the ball?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Was it the absence in the Lido? Was it misplaced passes? Was it maybe playing the same team twice in 2 days, and so there was maybe a more apathetic.
It might be that, or I don't know, but there was just something off about the passing. I don't know exactly what it was. Guardiola said as much. There was just something. The final ball was never there, and I'm not sure exactly what you diagnose it as, but I think I don't know, but at the same time, I think it's correctable.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Ian, who would you like to see? I mean, I know you kind of said I think that's their best starting 11 when Gray said, but is their best starting 11 what you want to see, or do you have a desire for something different? What say thee?
Yeah, I would. I mean, what I said earlier, I would like to see that. There's no good reason, I think, to not have that be the starting 11. Unless Pep just wants to just have fun that day and just decide to do something different for no real good reason. I just don't see why that isn't what he does. And the only thing is, I just wonder, I mean, the big difference is going to be whether there are, is it going to be two pivots, or if you're going to have what we had against Swansea with Silva and Gundogan ahead of Fernandinho? And that's really all I'm waiting to see. I don't see any reason why Pep would pick a different 11. Of course, you know, I'm going to be wrong, you know.
That's just, we keep I'm saying sure that about Pep's 11s, and then we just keep getting made to look stupid.
No.
I'm not saying that you're wrong to predict this, because we both agree on it.
You're wrong with the rest of us, so it's cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to be wrong, but it's another thing to just be like, you know.
Ow, you
I do think that's the 11 that makes the most logical sense. Whether that's
there we go. That's what I was going to say.
Whether that's what ends up. Whether that's what ends up happening. Then.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to talk over you, but I don't know if that's what he will do. I don't know if he has something up his sleeve, but based on everything we've seen so far and who's available, logically, that's your team.
Totally agree.
Really? That's what you guys end out with? That's to cut each other off? Like, yeah, no, totally agree. You guys suck. all right, so I did want to cover one or two last things here shortly, just because I thought these were really, really, really well-answered questions on our first podcast, Ian. And I joked, I told Gray the story about how I told you that if it sucked, I would just call you back and tell you that the podcast was lost. And then when the podcast actually did get lost, like, I'm like, holy crap, how am I supposed to make this phone call? Like, this is a lose. But I knew that
this is why we don't make jokes ever.
Yeah. But I knew that if I had a time and a place for you to come back to, then it wouldn't be that big of a deal, because you'd already be booked to come back on. So what I want to do is I want to ask you one or two of those questions about it. And specifically with Yaya, who we brought up earlier on the podcast, and we talked about sort of the agent thing. And, Gray, do you want to ask him sort of like the same things that you asked Joe and myself about Yaya and just sort of give Ian a chance to follow up on that from his legal perspective?
I will, but, you know, I'm gonna hit you a little off the map because you tweeted us this yesterday when I got on the Twitter account, at America Citizens, by the way, follow us, and made a remark about, because Dmitry Selleck said something about, or there was a story that Selleck believes that City are in breach of contract with Yaya. You said there might actually be something to this, and I would like to hear about that.
Sure. Yeah, there's something that FIFA has. It's called the Regulations on the Status and Transfer of Players. And Chapter 4, Article 15 talks about the maintenance of contracts and their stability between professionals and clubs. And there is... It's a 10% rule. And so basically the idea is assuming that the player, is available for games, you know, isn't suspended or whatever. If that player is playing in fewer than 10% of the games in which he is available to play, then he is allowed to, prematurely get out of his contract under the what's called the sporting just cause. So by not playing Yaya in pretty much almost every competition, really, the idea here would be that it's a quasi breach of contract and that Yaya could force a move to another club. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I follow. See, I never would have known that. And frankly, I think City would be quite happy to accommodate him. But yeah, Josh, I sort of hijacked where this was going. I'm sorry, but I just remembered. I remembered seeing that last night, and I was like, well, he's here, so I want to ask him about it while he's here.
No, I'm glad you did. That's kind of exactly what I wanted. I guess the way that I look at it is this. From your perspective, and the thing about being a lawyer whose phone lasts longer than mine, is that you sort of have an understanding of people. You can actually talk to them, get to know them. And so too... with the agent. The agent's job isn't just to define the player's worth in monetary value vis-a-vis contract. Can you shed a little light on what we talked about the other day as it pertains to how agents develop the core of their relationship with the client over the course of many years?
Yeah, Yaya is a terrible example here because he's so old. He's at the end of his career, and his current agent, Dmitry, is basically like a father to him. But so let's assume there's a younger player with a more competent, agent. I told you the other day, your agent ought to be an attorney. In terms of ensuring that the contracts that you are able to make are in the best interest of the player, and but that's just the one little thing, and I think a lot of people are just thinking, okay, well, agents are trying to get their 10% or whatever of the contract amount, and so they're always going to try to get the most amount of money in that contract so they can make a lot of money, and that's fair enough, and that's not an unreasonable way to get paid. But one thing to outside of that scope is you know, you need to find out about your player's personality. For instance, his linguistic disposition. I mean, you know, what does this person want to move to a country that, you know, speak where they speak a different language? Does he have children? Are there schools in that area, if he moves there, that will teach in his children's native tongue? So that's, you know, the one issue there. And then the other one too is you want to make sure that as you move your player along to different clubs, that you find the right type of club in terms of him being able to get a reasonable amount of playing time. So you don't want to necessarily have him jump from playing some really small team to some huge team and risk, you know, not getting a lot of playing time or having a lot of pressure on him being this huge signing and going somewhere. And, you know, so another part of an agent's job is to really be a counselor to that player, because money is just one little aspect of this for the relationship between client and player. And, you know, I think a good agent ends up getting a great contract for his client. But that great contract is not just how much money. It's about, you know, where the person's going to play, how that fits in with the type of person that the player is. What's this mean for his future in terms of the next club he would sign for? Is he going to get enough playing time? Those kind of things. There's a real personal relationship there. But the problem, I think, with Yaya is that his relationship is a bit too personal. So does that make sense?
All kinds of the best sense, dude. And I think it boils down to the fact that Seluk is Yaya's, well, biggest fan, because Yaya's frankly his biggest client. And that's not to say that Seluk didn't do some amazingly wonderful things for Yaya that would qualify rather bluntly as, you know, family. And so I do understand, and I'm not advocating, I'm not dismissing, I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just simply stating that I do understand why Yaya hasn't come out and been like, to hell with Dimitri, he can go pound sand, he's a tool. I get it. And I don't think he's ever going to come out and say that about him. And City fans who are hoping for that are going to be waiting a long time.
Oh, I agree completely. Yeah.
All right. Yep.
Thanks a lot for having me on.
Yep.
I'm assuming this is going to be actually recorded. And next time I do want to jump into the whole expansion of the Champions League, because I know that was a good topic we disagreed on.
That was an excellent topic. And Gray, I think that would be perfect. We could center the back of an episode around that discussion. Ian and I got into it, not in a bad way, but, you know, for great radio's sake debate, we got into it. And I thought the discussion was as lively as it was entertaining. So if you're down, I'd love for the next episode to be about Champions League expansion.
Sure thing. Yeah, absolutely. I'm all for that.
I figure we'll call this show City Watch's American Citizens Legal Lens with Ian O'Neill.
That sounds great. I like
there
it.
There you go.
Can you make the title a little longer?
I could. American Citizen or City Watch's American Citizens, astutely keen observations through a legal perspective, as done by Ian O'Neill.
Nice.
Is that successful?
That sounds good. Next, all we got to do next is get a
We need a sponsor. We got to get a sponsor for the legal lens section.
I thought
that's going to be Robert Kardashian, dude.
I fought the law and Dmitry Selleck won.
Yeah, that's going to be Robert Kardashian, like, coming through and taking care of all our needs because of, LegalZoom.
LegalZoom, yeah, yeah.
We'll pitch him on the idea. So, on that note, as our shows tend to do at the end, they devolve. So, for Ian and for Gray, I am Josh, and this has been a special edition of City Watches, American Citizens Podcast, Legal Lens with Ian O'Neill. We'll catch you next time, folks.